that the Heavenly Father had given him. The Father sent him to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus could say, mission accomplished. You know, I can almost imagine Jesus as a child in his father Joseph's carpentry shop, learning the carpentry trade, cutting down a tree, assembling pieces of wood, shaping them with primitive hand tools, assembling them together into the form of a chair or a table, and perhaps with a few scrapes and cuts and blisters along the way, finally being able to announce to his father, Joseph, it's finished. And I can imagine a nod of approval from Joseph, sense of justified pride as he looks at his son's work and he says, well done. And I can imagine a heavenly father looking down from heaven, looking upon Jesus on the cross and witnessing Jesus' victory shout, it is finished, mission accomplished. And I can imagine a heavenly father tearfully saying, well done, my son. It is finished. You can imagine Jesus' relief and joy as he gives up his spirit to once again come into the presence of God in heaven. And the dreadfully hard work of the cross has been accomplished. The indescribable suffering is over. The victory is won. You see, Jesus, on his death, the cross, accomplished everything that God called him to do. And today, on this Easter Sunday morning, we celebrate his resurrection. The resurrection is the proof that Jesus' death on the cross accomplished what God intended for him to do. Jesus is alive. We shout today, he is risen. All that trust in him live because Jesus rose from the grave. That is the message of Easter. Jesus did all that God called him to do by dying on the cross. And for Jesus, his work was finished. But a question remains, I believe, for us today. Is God's plan for you finished? Is God's plan for you finished? Have you completed what God has called you to do in order for your salvation to be complete? Because the scripture says in John chapter 1 verse 12 that we must receive Jesus as our Savior. As many who have received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, Jesus did all that he was called to do. Have you completed what Jesus, what God has called you to do? Easter Sunday morning and the Sunday before Christmas are Sundays we usually have our highest attendance in church. They represent the highlights of the Christian church year. So why are the church doors open on any other Sunday? For that matter, why are the church doors open throughout the week for Bible studies and for youth programs and children's programs? You know, I want to be honest with you today. Do we think the eloquent speech of pastors will bring folks back to church Sunday after Sunday? Do we think a wonderful choir, thank you, choir, or a wonderful praise team in our other service, do you think these are sufficient reasons for us to show up Sunday after Sunday for church? Do we think the friendliness of the ushers or the cleanliness of the building or the safety of our nursery, the quality of our programs we have through the week, do we think these are sufficient reason for us to be faithful servants of God. All of those things are good. It's right and fitting that we do, that we honor God with our best, with excellence. But I want to give you a better reason today for being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a better reason for coming to church Sunday after Sunday. Let me give you a better reason for sacrificing time to serve the church. Let me give you a better reason for giving of your tithes and offerings to advance the cause of the church and the missions of the church. Let me give you a better reason to share your faith with the lost. Let me give you a better reason to dedicate yourself wholeheartedly to Jesus. What is that reason? It is simply this. It is because you have fallen in love with Jesus, and in Him you have proclaimed your trust, and in Him you have proclaimed Him as Lord. You've fallen in love with Jesus because of what He did for you on the cross. You've fallen in love with Jesus because He was willing to suffer on a cross in such an extraordinary way for you and for me. You have fallen in love with Jesus because the God of this universe wants to spend eternity with you. You have fallen in love with Jesus because He has provided a way for sinful men to be in eternal fellowship with a holy God. And that provision was the cross. And here's the kicker. When you have so fallen in love with Jesus, when you confess Him not only as your Savior, but as your Lord, a herd of wild elephants won't keep you from coming back to worship and to praise and to serve Him week after week after week. And this morning, I want to ask, do you get it? Jesus says, it is finished. Do you get it? The it for Jesus was to do everything that God called Him to do to bring about your salvation. And the it for us is that we do what God calls us to do to make that salvation complete for us. Do you get it? We are told that if we confess the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is Lord. That is what the it for us is. What Jesus calls for us to do is to believe in Him, to trust in Him, and in joyous celebration and in joyous response to the salvation He gives to us, to gladly proclaim Him Lord. To surrender to His Lordship. It's not a passive surrender. It is an active surrender where we change our loyalties from serving this world to changing our loyalty to serving Jesus and following Him. Surrendering to Jesus is not to be thought of as though we're in a POW camp where our loyalties are still with our old ways and we're doing everything we can to subvert those who have conquered us. When we surrender to Jesus, it is an active surrender. We have changed loyalties. We are called to gladly and joyously follow Him. Do you get it? The gospel of Jesus is life transforming. You can never be the same once you confess Jesus is Lord. You can never be the same when you understand that the Creator of the universe loves you so much that He would die for you on a gruesome cross. And so this morning, I want to just ask a simple question, a couple of simple questions. Do you get it? Do you understand Jesus' call to confess him as Lord? Perhaps you are in this room, you profess to be a Christian, but your Christian faith doesn't make a whole lot of difference in your life. Your Christian faith doesn't affect the other areas of your life. Perhaps you are what we call a Christer Christian, a Christmas and Easter Christian. Perhaps you realize that maybe you're just playing a Christianity game. Because you see, when Jesus calls for us to confess him as Lord, it's life transforming. When he calls us to confess him as Lord, it is an active surrender to change your loyalties and to serve him completely. And so the question today is perhaps to ask yourself also, could it possibly be? Could it possibly be, maybe, just maybe, that you never quite got it? That maybe, just maybe, you have persuaded yourself that you are a Christian, but you never really got it and failed to understand that though Jesus has done everything to bring about your salvation, you are called to place your trust, your faith, your hope, your life, your all in the hands of Jesus. Could it possibly be that you got dunked in some water some years ago, but never really got it? Is it possible you got your name on a church roll, but you never really got it? Is it possible that this Easter you might finally get it? That Jesus did everything God called him to do to bring about your salvation. For Jesus, it is finished. But have you done what Christ has called you to do? To place your faith, your trust, your hope, your loyalty, your life in his hands. It is my prayer for each and every one of you today, that not only can Jesus say, it is finished, but that you can say, for me, it is finished. May we pray. Father, we come to you today, and I pray for every person in this room. I pray that their faith might be genuine. I pray, Father, that they not be deluded into thinking that they are a follower of yours, but have the mindset that their loyalties are still somewhere other, that their hope is somewhere other. Father, I pray today that if there are folks who claim to be Christians here today who have not truly placed Jesus as the head of their lives, Lord of their lives, that today might be the day they finally get it and find your salvation. We thank you today on this Easter Sunday morning that the proof of the gospel is in an empty tomb. And we thank you, Father, that your son Jesus is risen, that he is alive, that he is a living Savior. And Father, I pray that everyone in this room might confess that Jesus is Lord. I pray for a commitment, Father, to you, that like what Paul says in Romans 8, A commitment that is so strong that neither death nor life nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future nor powers nor height nor depth, not even a herd of wild elephants will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it is my prayer that everyone in this room can shout the amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? And the invitation is given to you to put your trust and your faith in Jesus as Lord, as we sing this invitation.
There's room at the cross. Hymn number 315. 315. Room at the cross.